Return your seats. Before we turn to our passage this morning, just allow me to introduce two interns, the new interns for 2018. Two have arrived, and we're expecting two more to come this week. We expect four this week, so the total number will be six for 2018. We have our brother from Namibia, Wauja Kalamata, who's present. I think he arrived 2 days ago. So Wauja, where are you? Please just stand. Okay, so that's Wauja. He'll be with us for 1 year. And then we have Mr. Jeda Sichula from Kapirimposhi. So those are the two that have arrived so far. We expect one to arrive tomorrow, Josh Shoko from Zimbabwe. And then in the course of the week, we expect Marvin from Uganda. And then when Mwindula is back from honeymoon, straight into internship. And then we have our brother Thompson Mukandawire from Chilanga. So there'll be the six interns that we have this year, and please take time to interact with them and get to know them as they'll be with us for the next 12 months. Please do have your seats. Let's turn our Bibles to a famous verse, a verse that I hope most of us can recite from memory. John 3, verse 16. And I'll read that verse only. John 3, and we'll read verse 16, which will be the verse for our meditation this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let's just pray together, shall we? Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we give you thanks that it has pleased you to allow us to see 2017. It has pleased you to allow us to be here present in your house as we stand at the verge of a new year. And oh God, what a greater opportunity for us to meditate on your love for us, especially as we think of this year that is coming to an end and begin to plan for the year that lies ahead. We plead with you, dear God, that you cause each one of us to think of your immeasurable love for us. Particularly pray for those that have been with us throughout this year, listening to your word proclaimed from this pulpit, and they've continued to stubbornly live in sin. Our Father, we pray that you pierce their hearts and draw them to yourself as they think of your love for them. Dear God, we pray that you'll be pleased to bless the preaching of your word for your glory and for the benefit of all of us present this morning. For we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Life is like a shadow and a mist. It passes away quickly and is no more. Are we not in the last month of 2017. In fact, the last day of this year. And yet some of the events that happened in the first months or the first few days of this year are still lingering in our minds. There are some things that we desired to achieve this year. And as we look back at the year, perhaps it's beginning to dawn that they'll never be done this year. Maybe in the coming year. All of us are looking forward to 2018, hoping that it will be better than 2017. We're looking forward to this coming new year with renewed hope that we'll be able to achieve some of the things that we failed to achieve or to do this year. And for most of us, the folly of such hope is that we somehow think things will automatically change because it's a new year. We somehow think that we'll be able to achieve what we failed to achieve. We somehow tend to think things will change themselves. And so instead of us focusing our minds on what really matters in life, we are busy focusing our minds on things that profit not your soul. And when you look at posts on social media, and when you drive around the city of Lusaka, you see banners all over the city calling people to come to attend this New Year crossovers overnight, or some kind of special meetings where financial miracles are being promised to all those who will be in attendance. And for most of the people planning to attend such New Year crossovers is that they are focusing on the promises that the so-called self-proclaimed prophets are making and missing out on what really matters in life. And that's your relationship with your God. And this morning, I would like us to meditate on a verse that I believe is well known, and focus our minds on God's immeasurable love for us. This is an old message. This is an old truth, and yet so relevant for each one of us as we think of the coming year. And the context of our passage, the context of the verse in which John 3:16 finds itself, is the context of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to a Jew called Nicodemus. And as the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to Nicodemus, he points Nicodemus to the heart and the summary of the gospel. And he explains to Nicodemus how that God loved the world and he gave his only son, that whoever believes in God's son will not perish but have everlasting life. Now for Nicodemus, a Jew, the idea of God loving the world must have been shocking news to him, because of the many writings of the Jewish tradition and also the Old Testament context, in which the Jews only thought that God loved the people of Israel. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ talking to this man and telling him about God's love for the world. And this love is limited to those who believe in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a message I would like to bring to you this morning. It's a message that you've heard before. And it's a message that I would like to challenge you with this morning as you think of 2018, on God's immeasurable love for you that has been stored upon you in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that verse, we see the origin of the gospel, that it's the eternal love of God for the world, which shows God's determination to save the people from their sins. And as you think of 2018, it is this that will make a difference in your life. It is this message that will bring about everlasting change in your life. It is not the dreams of Vanity Fair, of hoping that 2018 will be different, or the so-called promises that are being made by the self-proclaimed prophets. It's not the themes that you hear, but it is God's message to you that will change your heart and bring about everlasting change. So let's open up that verse and meditate on it. The first thing we see is that God's immeasurable love is seen in the choice of His gift to the world. God's love, this vast love, is seen in God's choice of the gift to the world. And see that in those words, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son." Now, God could have told us that He loved us and give no evidence than the gifts of creation. God could have simply said that He loved us and left us to believe it or not. But God knew the feebleness of the human mind, the human heart, and God knows how human beings think, and He demonstrates His love, His great love for the world in the choice of the gift to the world. And God gives us this unavoidable proof of the secret love that it was in His heart way back in eternity. And He desired to reveal this love openly for you to see. Consider what the gift is that God gave. The Bible tells us He gave His only Son. Think of the sacred person who has been given to the world. Think of the person whom the Father has given to prove His love to the world. It is His only Son. His one and only Son. The Father is giving His beloved Son, the one in whom is well pleased. The Father is giving His Son, one whom has been with Him way back in eternity, before anything else was created. The Father is giving His other self. The Father is giving God to the world. Or to put it even more strongly, the Father seemed to love us better than His only Son, and He did not spare Him. But also consider how He gave His Son. The Father is giving His Son to rebels, to a people who want to have nothing to do with God. The Father is giving His Son to a people who are living in rebellion against this God. A people who do not desire to see the kingdom of God extend. The Father is giving His Son to a people who live in sin, dream sin, think about sin. And this is the people the Father is giving His Son to. Father, allow this son to go through the circle of life on earth. He allowed his son to be born in a manger, in a place where animals feed from. The father allowed the son to toil in the carpenter's shop, to drive nails through the wood. The father allowed his son to live among the scribes and the Pharisees, whose cunning eyes wash the Son of God and whose tongues curse the Son of God. The father allowed the son to live in poverty. Poverty so dreadful that the son had no place to lay his head. The father gave his son to die on the cross. But also, when you think of what the father is doing, one needs to ask himself the question, but when did the father give the son to the world? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. When was this done? These words cannot entirely relate to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, because at the time the Lord Jesus Christ is saying these words, he's not dead. It's just the beginning of his ministry. And surely, as the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to Nicodemus, he's bringing out this truth to Nicodemus, something which the Father had planned way back in eternity. So the Father gave his Son to the world way back in eternity, before everything else was created. The Father made this promise to the world, even way back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned against God. And this has always been the Father's plan for the world. And the father will look at the son as the gift and the hope of the world. And when he created human beings, throughout the ages, the father stood to his promise, to his gift. And all the sacrifices and all the shadows were a reminder, not of the father, but of you and I, that the father will keep his promise. And year in and year out, the father kept on reminding us that in the fullness of time, his son will come into this world to fulfill the plans that the father has always had, to show his immeasurable love for the world. And all those shadows and types were reminding us that the Father will not withdraw his promise. He will not withdraw his gift. And when you think of the Father's love, think of the choice of his gift. And do you doubt God's immeasurable love for you? If you're still in doubt, let's go and look at Bethlehem and see the Son of God in a manger, in a helpless babe. See him in the hands of his parents, the darling of heavens, at the disposal of human beings. If you still doubt God's love for you, look to the cross and hear the Son of God crying out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you still doubt God's love for you, go with me in the wilderness and see the Son of God fasting for 40 days and being tempted by the devil, so that he could prove to you that he can be trusted as the Savior of the world. See him in the Garden of Gethsemane, in agony and in anguish, laying prone upon the ground because he was about to take your place. Do you know of anything that God could have done to prove to you his love? What is it that you want God to do to show that he loves you? What is it? What evidence do you demand that God should show to you of his love for you? What other facts do you want? Throughout the year, you've heard this message come to you Sunday after Sunday. And each time you hear, you go back to your sins. I ask you this morning, what facts do you want to be put before you to show you how much God loves you? He's provided for you a sufficient Savior in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, God's immeasurable love is seen in the simple plan of salvation. His love for the world is seen in God's simple plan of salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him. Whoever believes in him. If God wanted, he would have put the way of salvation upon a very expensive basis. After all, salvation is worth it. In fact, it's worth more than any expensive thing you can think about. And when the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to Nicodemus, he shows Nicodemus that the key to salvation is as simple as believing in the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ brings this simple salvation, this simple plan of salvation to Nicodemus. And this is a plan that God has always had, a simple plan of salvation, so that those who believe in his Son may be saved. God has opened wide the doors of salvation, and he's made it simple for people to come and be saved from their sins. Religion makes it difficult for people to be saved from their sins, because there are too many do's and don'ts. And just when you think you've done all the rules that are required for you to be accepted, then you realize that there's something you missed along the way. Religion makes it impossible for men to be saved. But the Lord Jesus Christ, on the other hand, brings this simple salvation, this simple plan of salvation, that anyone whosoever believes in him as the Savior of the world will be saved from their sins. This plan of salvation is so simple that even little children can come to God. It is so simple that even old people can come to God. This plan of God for salvation is so simple that even those with limited intelligence can come to God. Even those who cannot add or subtract, cannot even write their names, but if they put their faith and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved by grace. How much simpler could God have made it to be? If God said only those with a certain level of intelligence would be saved, a number of us would have missed heaven. If God said only those with certain level of capabilities or physical health, A number of us would have missed this plan of salvation. But God, who's so wise, so knowing, made it so simple that anyone who puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. He's torn down the barriers to salvation. And he asks you to believe in his Son. And you'll be saved. And this process of salvation began in heaven, way back in eternity. And it reached its pinnacle in the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the death of Christ, it shines so bright that God has kept his promise. And anyone who comes and believes in his Son will be saved. But when you look carefully at that text, you see that there's a word which gives no limit. God so loved the world. But there's also a descriptive limit that is put in that verse. He gave his only Son that whosoever believes in him will be saved. God did not so love the world that anyone who does not believe in his Son will be saved. God did not so love the world that any man who even refuses to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, will be saved. God did not so love the world in such a way, yet God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that anyone who believes in his Son will be saved. While this verse shows that there's no limit to salvation, there's that descriptive limit that is put. It's whoever believes in his Son. And here is where we see the compass of God's immeasurable love for the world. While every unbeliever is excluded from this love, every believer is included in this love. Everyone who has come to the Lord Jesus Christ and has believed in Christ, he can be assured of being saved from their sins. It's God's promise to the world. It's God's promise to you. And God has made it possible for you because of the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Greek verb for believe is in the present tense. It focuses on the action of the person who believes as a way of life. This is not in any way talking whether you've made once a profession of faith in Christ. No. It's whether is that your pattern of life. Have you believed? Are you believing that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world? It's not a once for all action. It's a continuous action. One that must be present today. One that was present yesterday. And one that will be present tomorrow. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. That whosoever believes, whosoever is believing, whosoever continues to believe, will be saved. Oh, that this truth may penetrate through your heart, into your soul, and see God's simple plan of salvation. And that you will be so simple to believe the simplicity of this simple plan of salvation and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Today, God's immeasurable love is seen in the simple plan of salvation, whosoever believes. But in the third place, let's look at how God's immeasurable love is also seen in the divine pledge that he makes, the divine pledge. And this is captured in the last part of that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And this is God's divine pledge to whosoever believes in his Son, that he will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, this is a surety that God gives to all believers, that you will not perish, but you have eternal life. You have it now, and it will be yours for eternity. And in these words, we see God's provision of salvation and God's sure promise that he's making. He's saying, whosoever believes in his Son will not perish, but have eternal life. And the Lord Jesus Christ is clearly telling Nicodemus and all of us this morning that those who've believed in Christ have eternal life. Eternal life is theirs now, today, and it will be theirs forever. Because God, who is an eternal God, who's lived in eternity past, who's lived in eternity present, and who's lived in eternity future, he's the one who gives his salvation. And because his Son is God, whatever the gifts Christ gives are of an eternal origin. And he's saying those who believed in Christ have eternal life. They will never perish. And the idea of perishing there is being given over to an eternal misery in hell. And Jesus is promising, or promises, that all who believed in him will not suffer that eternal misery in hell because of eternal life. And in that way, to perish gives even a greater worry than that of cancer. A worry greater than losing a child in death. A worry greater than even losing a spouse or a parent. In those words, we see that the most horrible thing that can happen to anyone present this morning is to live a life without a relationship with God and then to be ushered into hell for eternity. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ wants that to bear upon your mind this morning. That God has shown his immeasurable love to you. But if you continue to live in stubbornness of your heart, there's this thing you need to think about. A time will come when you'll be ushered into hell for eternity, and you suffer a miserable life in hell. There's nothing more dreadful than the thought of spending eternity in hell without the possibility of pardon, without the possibility of being released from that pain. And yet that will be the fate of many this morning who continue to reject God's love. But on the other side, we see that there's also this pledge of eternal life. Those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have eternal life. And the gift of eternal life is the blessed portion of every child of God this morning. It is their portion while they live into this world. It is theirs. God has given it to them because they've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. It's not their belief that brings about eternal life, but it's God who brings it because he promised it in his Son and he's given it to all those who are in Christ. The possession of eternal life is the greatest possession possible to a human being. Other possessions that you have may be taken away from you. Just look at the last 1 year. Some of the things that you had at the beginning of the year, they are no longer with you. They've faded. They've been taken away from you. Other possessions will disappoint you and they will wear out on you. But this possession of eternal life grows richer and brighter as the years goes by. As you look forward to being in the presence of this great God who's granted to you eternal life, this possession begins to grow brighter and richer. It is this possession that does good to the heart of one who possesses it. Earthly possessions are sometimes burdensome, but not with this eternal life. And it's this possession of eternal life that prepares the Christian for that long experience in the kingdom of God with God. This priceless portion satisfies the desires of the heart that possesses it. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, whoever has believed in him has eternal life. To have Christ is to have life. The life of God is in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to have him in your life is to have a life that cannot be taken away from you. And believers know that they have eternal life because the Father has promised it to them. God, who cannot lie, God who knows all things, he's the one who gives assurance that anyone who believes in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. And believers can live in the fullness of that assurance that while 2017 may have had its ups and downs, there's something that has been constant throughout, is that eternal life is yours, and no one will take it away from you. And as you look forward to this coming year, there's something you know that you have, is this wonderful life that you found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know the challenges that will be there. But there's something you know. This eternal life that is in Christ is yours. You have it. You possess it. Because of the gracious mercies of God. This is God's message to you. As you bid farewell to 2017 and will come 2018. As you make an inventory of your life and make plans or resolutions for next year, or that you may seriously think about God's measurable love for you. Ponder over this fact, this truth, that God has displayed his great love for rebels like you. People who want to have nothing to do with God. People who love their sins and minimize the seriousness of their sins. And yet at the same time, they are offended by other people's behaviors. And somehow convince themselves that they are better off than others. And yet God looks at you and sees a heart that is minimizing the seriousness of sin. And a heart living in rebellion against him. But yet, you are the people that God has displayed his love for. Seriously ponder over this fact. That God loves you. And it's only when this love of God conquers your rebellious heart and causes you to see the seriousness of your sins. And when God changes your heart and gives you a heart that will respond to him, it is what will bring change in your life in the coming year. Because now you know that God loves you. And as you engage in the things of this world, and as you engage in your work, in your studies, and whatever you engage in, they will be viewed from the shores of heaven, beaming on the cross of Christ. And that will bring about a wonderful change in your life. This message that comes to you this morning is not a new message. It's an old truth, yet so relevant for you. Oh, that you may think about God's love, which is so rich, so pure. This love which is unmeasurable. This love which will never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God is saved from sin. Think about this truth and come to Christ today. Amen.